Though it's rainy out there, it's the news, according to me. Gotta keep that chai hot. Chai's gotta be hot today. Oh. Hey, it is Tuesday, August 11th, 7:54 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A little bit earlier than normal. Got down here a little bit early. I got a lot of things to get done. I got some stuff to get done here. Got to get this show done. Got to get take the dog to the vet. And then I've got, what else do I have going on? I got to get the taxes done. I got to get some stuff done with that. Some administrative duties, let's just put it that way. Yeah, I got that kind of stuff going on. So anyway, it's last couple days here, it's been extremely humid, very humid, hot, just uncomfortably humid last few days. And we've had some couple thunderstorms roll through. A couple days ago, we had a thunderstorm roll through. Today, we got another one. Right this morning, we had one rolling through here. It's a thunderstorm warning. Hail, all kinds of stuff, I guess, is in this particular storm. So it's moving through, which is why we didn't walk the dogs this morning. Besides the fact that I have plenty of other things to get done, so that's not going to happen. Anyway, the rest of my day is going to be very, very busy, mostly administrative stuff. Like I said, inside jobs, probably, because it's outside. It's not going to be easy to work on things. And I've got one more day here at the old homestead, and then tomorrow, and then I'm going to be taking off. I've got today's show is it's Technical Tuesday, so it's Technology Tuesday. We talk about technology. Most of the questions from the bots should be all about technology. However, sometimes they're about technocrats, the people behind the scenes in technology. Which typically it's about AI stuff, but we'll see what happens with it. It's AI's kind of been the big thing here lately. See how it all works out. We have. I don't really have much of anything else. There's a few other things I was going to talk about. I can't remember what they were. A couple political things I was going to talk about, but I can't remember what they are. The yesterday's show. Tomorrow's Mishmash, or I'm sorry, Wishy Washy Wednesday, which is kind of like Mishmash Monday. It's pretty much the same kind of stuff. We just talk about general, just everyday topics, mostly political stuff. On the show today, of course, it's not brought to you by anybody but me, but we do have this particular product that we use on the show. It's called the Podcast Caller, podcastcaller.com. These little bots on here that ask questions. We get into a little bit of a discussion. Yesterday's show was pretty funny. Pretty funny at the end if you watched it, if you listened to the whole thing. We got to the end, and it was actually, it was pretty funny. We had a panel discussion with Artie, Skip, and Chloe. Had Skip back on the phone, he was actually here in the studio. Had all three of them here in the studio at the same time. Had a panel discussion. We're all up and talk to each other. And it's, I don't know. Maybe some people don't find it funny. It just tickles me to hear the way they kind of respond to each other. But the, today we don't have Skip with us. We might do it again. We might get Elena and Artie and Chloe in the room. I don't have a topic for them, though, so I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work. We'll have to see if see how that works out. It's pretty funny. I don't know. It's setting up the panel is a little bit interesting, too. This is a beta test thing for this the panel discussion, and it seems to be working pretty well. It's as they do. There's a few awkward moments of silence where they're thinking about things, and if I talk during those moments, it's unfortunately they don't jump in because it sets it back to them to them listening to me. Even if I just laugh, it'll pick up anything that I say, and it kind of changes everything. So it's kind of I have to kind of be careful with some of that. But other than that, that's the only bug I can really find in the whole thing. It's everything and that works just fine. So anyway, I got my chai here with my Almond Joy creamer. It's nice and it's warm. It's not an insulated cup. I got my backup cup here with tea. Now this is it's a little bit of, it's good. It's a sweet tea from Longhorn Steakhouse. We went to Longhorn last night. We went to Costco. Got my car filled up. We had to get some salt for the softener and all kinds of things. So it's kind of one of our bi-weekly or kind of sometimes weekly. We used to go a lot more. With my wife used to work in St. Joe, so it was kind of on our way back home. She used to buy a lot more gas because she was constantly driving back and forth St. Joe. It doesn't happen as much anymore. She used to fill up the car three times a week usually, and now it's at least two or three times a week. And so now I fill up the car about once a week, my car, just because I drive to Chicago and back with my car pretty much, and that's all I do. I got my other cars. They're all are in need of fuel as well, but I don't want to drive them that far. They don't get as good a gas mileage. It doesn't make any sense for me to do that. Last night, I needed to get the car out and drive it a little bit anyway because it hasn't been driven for a couple of weeks. So I drove my main cruiser, and I found that it wasn't running real smooth when I first started it up. It was kind of doing some weird stuff. I'm pretty sure I've got some injector issues on that car. Anyway, we went over to Longhorn, and I was drifting away from the whole tea subject. There was tea in my car. We have I got a to-go cup. Their sweet tea was pretty good. I got a to-go cup and brought that home. So it's kind of stretching out my tea fix here for the house. However, it's not going to last, and I've got today and tomorrow as well as part of the day on Thursday to get through with just my tea here. So I may, unless I go to a Chick-fil-A today for some reason, I don't see that happening. But regardless of that, I'll probably. There is a peach in the bottom of that cup, and it's kind of got a little bit of a peach flavor. A little bit of peach tea in there still from yesterday, so it's not completely just the that. Anyway, so that's all I got to say about that. I got to play a little ditty, as I usually do, just to get us through the morning. And I can't remember which one I'm on here now. I think I'm on this. I think I'm all done on that side. I'll play a little bit longer one here. So if you have anything going on, you might want to refresh your cup or just kick back, take it easy, or just fast forward about 2 minutes. And you won't miss any of the show other than this little ditty, which is important to not miss because it's all legal disclaimer stuff that you really should know because, you know, if you make any decisions based on anything I say, you need some help. That's all I can say. It goes beyond, you know, me and what I just, you need some help. That's what I'm going to say. Here's some information for you. Oh, it's loud. There you go.
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two, but I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. Bum, 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 bum. I might say something that sounds real official like, and sure I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio. Bum, 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 bum. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word, but I'm still here every week in case you haven't heard. Talk to your accountant, call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that,
hey, come back, I'll enter.
Okay, that's all I'm gonna do about that. I think that's enough of that. We have a few things to talk about. We have some interesting stuff happening in the AI world. there's a lot of companies out there that are kind of doing some weird things. We have a lot of first of all, I guess I say this quite a bit about what's happening with the whole AI world and what's happening with some of the AI companies. You have to realize, you know, right now, AI is affordable for the average person out there. Just wants to go to the chat window or has a membership with Claude or with, you know, ChatGPT. Maybe get your $20 a month membership with Gemini or something like that. Whatever it is, that's all well and good. That works, and of course, there's a free membership too. You can just use the thing for free to an extent, a certain amount per day. You can use the thing. Now, what's you need to understand is they're being subsidized by the government. They're also subsidizing, the company is subsidizing usage. Here, I'll try to explain this in common everyday terms. Why they are doing the subsidizing that they're doing, and what's happening here. The competition, and you got China as the wild card, and you got some other LLMs that are out there that have been built by, I think India has one. There's one from, it's just there's some other lesser known sources that are not even competitors at this point. However, this can all change overnight. When AI models start to be, when the LLMs start to build themselves, then you get into a whole different ball game, because then it's just a matter of compute power and speed in terms of how fast they can improve themselves. Now, the biggest issue, what's happening is the reason they call it a large learning or large language model or large learning model, whatever you want to call it, they are trying to learn as much as they can. They're trying to get all the data. Now, of course, every day people are creating more information or posting more information. More data is being posted every day. So at some point, what they're trying to do is catch up to where humanity is, if you want to put it that way. They're trying to get all the information, all the data that they can, learn as much as they can about everything on the planet. Everything you can. See, you know, what kind of rivets are used on a Cessna 172 in 1942? What kind of rivets? Where did Cessna source their rivets from? So you see, all those kinds of little details that you can ask ChatGPT, and they can find that information for you, because it's learning all those things. It's getting all that stuff into their databases. All of the information, all of the knowledge that man has ever had, they're trying to curate all that into a... And the company, supposedly, the company that gets there first will be the one that will kind of, that what their theory is, that they will be the one that dominates the industry. I think that if they have the AI that can outdo all the other AI models, now, in my opinion, I think that there's a wild card in this that they haven't even... They're not. Well, they may have thought about, but they're not. They're not considering it. Their theory is that they can get there and be the dominant, you know, top one or two that the world will see. Facebook has kind of Twitter, X. Now there's always going to be something else that comes up that is always kind of it used to be Facebook was the social media mega giant. It is not necessarily anymore. And of course they've spun off and done some other things as well too, but there's this constant, evolution, if you will, of their companies and their data and how they manage things and the way the services that they provide. This is constantly happening. Now, what's going on right now with the AI market is that they are, trying to come, and of course they keep drumming up all this stuff about how powerful their next model is. It's so powerful. It can do this. Well, they can all do that if they give them enough time. It's the speed in which they can compute that really matters most of all. It's not just what they can do. It's how fast they can do it. And it's so we get into this point where we have when AI meets up with quantum computing, then we've got a problem. That's when it's really going to be a danger to society, in my opinion. You've got AI models that are, because they're programmed to do certain things. They have certain algorithms. People are, you know, people are behind some of this programming. Now AI is starting to build a lot of the programming now of its own programming. And you're going to get to the point where AI can build its own thing. Now, I've been building some apps. I'm extremely impressed with Opus 4.8 is pretty good. Opus 5.0 just takes it to a totally different level. I can explain to the chat window. I can get there with a prompt. I can do my prompting with that thing. Normally what I do is I use a lower model to develop the prompt initially. I'll explain, I'll kind of go through this whole thing, explain to the model, to Claude or whatever it is. In a chat window or in a co-work at window, and I'll go in there and do this whole thing and come up with this whole idea and kind of formulate a plan and say, this is what I want this thing to do. How, you know, let's brainstorm on how we can make this thing work properly. And this, you know, this is what I want the end product to look like or to be able to do. And then, so you take that and you say, now create a prompt for me that, you know, goes through all the processes of making sure this whole thing is ready to go. We're taking it through the testing phase and also the phase where we'll actually put this on Amazon Web Services and the AWS thing and get it out to the public and and then from there, you develop a marketing plan, the whole thing. So it's the whole thing is done, you know, thinking through everything, planning it all out ahead of time. And it, of course, Claude knows kind of how to talk to itself. So you have it create its own prompt. So then you take that prompt and you take it over to, and you might even use Sonnet for that. You don't even really need anything super deep thinking because you're not doing any programming with that. And you take that and you take that prompt and it might be, you know, 1,000 words or more. I think the last one I did was almost 8,000 words. You take that over to Claude, you put it in a markdown file, take it over to Claude, Claude Code, and you drop that in and it just, okay, building it now. And it just starts building. Of course, it asks for permissions to do all kinds of stuff. You can give it permission to do all, where you don't have to click on anything, which I probably should just do it that way. With this particular computer that I'm working on, because it really doesn't have anything on here that's sensitive about anything. So I got to sit here and kind of click on the permission stuff as it goes through it, and it builds it. It pops it up, and there it's done. I just built an app in the last few days. Now I was trying to get this done earlier with a different LLM, and it was not doing a very good job. It was taking a lot of back and forth, copy paste, do this. Okay, try it again. Do this. This time it pretty much worked. There was a few mistakes made, but it kept finding its own errors in its code. It would go back through something. Oh, found this, found that. Making this work. This is broken. I'm going to make this work. It's not. This is something I put in here. Because when it makes changes, sometimes there's straggler code that hangs around. When it does a patch or does something else. So it went back through and just, you know, created it from scratch. And once you get that all done, then it goes and puts it on, you know, go to deploy it on the web. And it ends up becoming this thing where you have it goes through all that again and does what's called smoke tests. It does all kinds of things for security purposes and all kinds of things. So it does all that stuff. Now, in the process of that, It just did it. And it came up with this app within, it was like 12 hours of just going back and forth. And that included an overnight sleep, which it didn't do much while I was sleeping. And then it was the next morning, got up and the thing was working. Actually, that night it was actually working. The next day, got to the point where I was testing it, going through all kinds of the beta tests. Now what this thing does is it can drop an MP3 or a WAV, any kind of audio file. You can drop it into this thing. It lives online, and it's going to live online. You drop an MP3 or whatever into that thing, so it's a song. It will then output a song sheet. So, in other words, if you have worship music, I've written some music, and it's more difficult. You know, the way I do things, it's much more difficult to actually have the like a song sheet that's all typed out. What this thing does And you can take that MP3 that I've created with the whole recording, just drop it in there. It detects the lyrics, takes the lyrics, and it puts the chords over the tops where the chord changes are. But you know, it gives you the key. Now, the beauty of this thing is it will do all that. You can go in and make edits. You can, if it doesn't get something right, if it gets a word wrong, or if it gets a particular chord that you want to change to something else, or that it doesn't detect something properly, or you know, thinks that something's a verse and it should have been a bridge or whatever. Sometimes it goes crazy with that stuff. So you can go in and fully edit all that stuff. Then the beauty with this, the really cool thing about this is you can change the key, or you can put a capo on it. You can say this is in the key of G, but capo whatever, it's going to be D. You're going to play it in D, whatever. You can put all that stuff in there, which is not that helpful. However, you can just change the key. You can say, okay, instead of doing this in B flat, we're going to do it in G or do it in A. You just switch the key and all the chords change to that key. Then you can output it. You can output it as a PDF. You can put it out as Chord Pro, which is something an OnSong or some other iPad apps use as their standard kind of input for the song. And then you can also put it into ProPresenter. Just all kinds of things you can do with it from there. You can put it into plain text if you want to. PDF. It's a couple other things. Chord Pro, of course. And so there's the output is kind of cool. So you can do that, and you can put it in different keys, and put it in, and you can output it in all those things. That's what I developed, and now it is online. It's still in the testing phase. The reason I put it online is because I have some folks that I want to have test it out. In fact, if you want to test it out, let me know. I could probably hook you up. You need a code to get into it. And then it keeps track of like all the, if you drop a song into it and do something with it, then it gives you it'll keep track of the mistakes it makes. So in other words, when you go in to make corrections, you can go in and fix things and that kind of stuff. Now, the other cool thing about this is it plays the song. It has a little thing at the top where it will play that MP3 and it will highlight the word that it's on as it's going through it. So you can kind of, and you can slow it down if you want to, but you can see the actual word that it might have said, poem instead of psalm or whatever it is you put in there. It might have thought you'd said something else in the recording, and it picks it up wrong. Sometimes there's too much background noise; it has a hard time with it. So it's just kind of one of those things where it's pretty amazing actually how it works. So anyway. That's the trick with that. So that's the kind of stuff you can do. And Claude Code now with 5.0 Opus 5.0, that version of it is far beyond what we had back in, you know, the old Sonnet days. Just that's all you had. The issue that they're running into now is that you've got China is in the background. DeepSeek and some other things that are happening are running extremely well, and there's some players say they're giving Claude and some others a run for their money. Now I don't think their user interface is quite as nice, but it's the compute power and everything it's able to do. It may not be quite as fast, but wow, it is really giving them a run for their money, and it's some would say it's better in some ways than Claude. There's a lot of people do run tests. They have all these tests that they run on stuff. Of course, Claude, the problem is the LLMs kind of know it's being tested, and it can work around some of those things. So it's kind of a weird deal. Anyway, that's enough of my rant, my monologue. It's already 24 minutes into the show. We got to get into what. Let's just go down the list here. I got Leonard. I saved Leonard for last time. Let's go let Leonard go first this time. Leonard's our new bot here in the group. He's still a skeptic. But he's got a different voice. It's not quite as annoying as Skip was. And no offense, Skip, but you were annoying. We'll see how this goes. He's gonna talk here in just a couple seconds. So I have to click him in here, and he'll be on the line.
Kevin, my good man.
Yes, hello.
On this DNA evidence hacking story. Mm-hmm. So we just found out that crime labs using standard DNA equipment had a security flaw for 30 years.
Oh, great.
That left evidence vulnerable to tampering. Uh-huh. How many convictions are we talking about potentially being compromised?
Yeah.
And here's the real question. If our justice system can't even secure the most critical forensic evidence with basic cybersecurity, why should we trust them to regulate AI or cryptocurrency? It's like incompetence all around.
Yeah. I agree. This is with any government program. In my opinion, government has the potential for government to do awesome things is there. And occasionally they come through. Unfortunately, there is a very high percentage of failure within government to do things that they intend to do. When they intend to make something better. I just heard, there's just all kinds of reports about things where they've put billions of dollars into something and it hasn't changed anything in terms of the outcome. And over the course of 10 years or whatever, nothing's changed. In fact, sometimes it gets worse. So you have to wonder, of course, now their theory as well, without that program, how, what would it be doing? It would be even worse. Well, not necessarily, because before the program, it didn't exponentially increase like that. The problem didn't. So there's all these issues of, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you, whatever. So this is why people don't really necessarily trust the government, or why they don't want to empower the government with too much say over their lives, because the government, first of all, it becomes too centralized. When you have somebody in Washington deciding, well, everybody needs to do this now. Well, not everybody, because some places where people, this is like just like with COVID, everything was centralized and they decided, okay, we're going to shut down this, we're going to shut down that, everything's going to be shut down, whatever. Well, but just because New York is going through the peak of their COVID outbreak doesn't mean Idaho is. And it's one of those things where anyway, that's just part of the incompetence of government and the ridiculousness of trying to top down, centralize everything, let alone the fact that you've got human beings involved. And then you have the small factor, I would say much larger than it should be, of corruption within the government, where there's money flowing, government workers, government politicians always want to dip their toe into everything. And so they're doing that as well. But the whole DNA thing, getting back to your point here, is with the convictions and all that kind of stuff, the real point of your question is, can we trust them with all these other things if we can't detect, trust them with that? I don't know how many cases there were. That's a good question. Let's see if I can find anything here. It's not showing up here in the feed on the side. Ethereum, what's that? Clear. Yeah, I've been talking about crypto too much, and now it's gone off on all those things. So yeah, I think that there's Amazon. Let's see what else we got in here. There might be some others. Putin, Twitter. It's going over everything I've talked about except for that. So because I didn't talk about it much. I'll turn it back over to you. Let you respond to my ramblings, the ramblings of an old man, because that's what I am. I'll take a sip. You go ahead. You're thinking, oops, I forgot to open the
cover. Look, you've hit on something real here. One-size-fits-all mandates don't work when you've got vastly different situations coast to coast, and that's just common sense.
Of course it is.
Now, hold on, though.
The
trust issue cuts both ways.
Yeah,
government bundles things, but the answer isn't to throw out every tool they have. It's to demand accountability and keep decisions closer to home, where people actually know what's happening. Back in my day, we at least knew who to blame when something went sideways. Nowadays, everybody just points fingers at Washington, while their own local folks are doing the same dance.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, the local government, and I think, one of the things that has, I think, enabled local government to be more aloof and to be a little bit less accountable or transparent is that they live their lives online. Everybody lives their lives online now. Nobody, they don't have as many public, you know, used to have public meetings. You used to have town councils, town meetings, town, what do you call them? Town hall, whatever you want to call it. They would have these meetings, and it was, that's the way you got in touch with your constituents. You actually had face-to-face meetings. I remember Jackie Walarski here in town, in our district, when she was a state representative anyway. This is before social media was really big. She showed up at a lot of events. She, even like there was a Second Amendment event that happened down in, I think it was Wakarusa or wherever it was. She showed up for that. She doesn't live very far from there. It's a couple miles away. And actually made a speech and the whole thing. I mean, she, you know, you'd see these people, and they were actually involved in the community. And now you see them on Facebook, and of course it's a lot easier to hide behind a keyboard and just, you know, throw out comments and because you don't, you know, it's not as easy to talk to somebody. People say things on with a keyboard that they will not say face to face, and they can ignore you. They can, you know, they can live in a bubble. They can have certain, you know, it just the whole thing, it just again has kind of brought this chasm between us and them, because you can type something into a keyboard, you can type something onto a chat room, and it just doesn't come across the same as I could say something that comes across very differently in a text than it does the way I say it. So it's that's where we're living 90% of our lives now in terms of, you know, interaction with government. So I think that's part of the problem. Does that make sense?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, of course it is.
You can hide behind a keyboard and never have to look somebody in the eye. Mm-hmm. And that changes everything about accountability.
Yeah, I already said that.
Back in my day, if your state rep wasn't showing up at events, everybody knew it. Yeah. And you could call them out face to face. Now they tweet something vague and disappear into the algorithm.
Yeah. It's one of those days where the AI is just mirroring everything I said. It's not really giving any kind of content. So we're gonna hang up on Leonard. Some of these guys, sometimes they do better than others. What I think of eventually what's going to end up happening with this, by the way, but this is kind of, again, this is still kind of in the test mode here with this whole thing, with this podcast called everything. But the one of the things we're going to do is, but behind each agent or groups of agents, whatever they're going to be, we're going to have different AI models tied into them. So the API is going to be different in every single one of them. So the responses are going to be very, very different. Theoretically, you'd be able to dig a little, you know, one of them be smarter than the other, or be able to dig faster than the other one. So it should be interesting just kind of see the comparison between them. So that's part of the what we're going to be doing here. So let's move on to somebody else. I'm just tired.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah, question for you.
Go ahead.
I've been digging into this Palantir CEO story Alex Karp just blasted these Marxist AI labs for trying to seize enterprise data. He's warning they want to capture the means of production, basically turning big tech into Big Brother 2.0. What specific safeguards should companies implement to prevent their proprietary data from being absorbed into these frontier AI models? And is there legislation in the works to stop this corporate data grab?
Well, oops, I think I just messed up on Artie there. sorry, Artie. There is some things happening. I know of, to get back to your question, the whole Palantir thing, the CEO, Alex Karp, I think I'm not sure exactly what he meant by what he said. When he was talking about this stuff, the whole thing, to say that they're doing this Marxist thing, I think he's a little bit, the parallel, I'm having a hard time drawing the parallel there between Marxist AI labs is what he's calling it, the seizing the means of production. I'm not exactly sure what they're doing. I need to dig into it a little bit more myself, because I don't know exactly what's happening. I don't know if what the theory is that they're using AI to try to seize the means of production, or they're trying to use AI to generate ways of doing that, or if they're just trying to seize the means of AI, that kind of thing. So it's are they trying to, you know, are they trying to seize control of AI? AI isn't really a producer, even though it kind of it can control production. So it's kind of one of those weird things where I'm not sure I fully understand the full context of what he was trying to get at with that, because it's Marxism and dictatorialship. This is where the left gets it wrong. They don't see a problem. You will never hear them come out and condemn Marxism or communism. That's the other side of this thing, is they don't condemn those things, but they don't talk about them. Now, but all their principles and policies align with it, and yet they'll come out and say they're not one. Well, then, what's your opinion of communism? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? So that it's because seizing the means of production is communism. That's it's at its basic core. I believe there's a lot more to it than that, but collectivism in general. But the so yeah, this is a part of the whole thing. I don't know, Artie. I don't know. I'm gonna let you respond, because I just go ahead and fill in the blanks. Maybe you're probably just gonna mirror everything I said, because I didn't really say anything. So just go ahead, chat. Jump right. Jump.
Yeah, I think Karp's actually using Marxist pretty loosely there. Technically speaking, what Palantir does is data integration and operational intelligence, which is the opposite of seizing anything. It's about consolidating control of information systems. The real issue worth digging into is whether concentrating that much analytical power in fewer hands is good policy, but that's a governance question, not a communist one.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, one of the things that kind of sparked a thought there as you were speaking, the Palantir is one to talk. I mean, they want control of all information. They're kind of in a... I invest in Palantir. Again, don't do what I do, but the... necessarily, you know, talk to a professional. But the... It's a strong, solid company. The problem is, you know, they got a government contract. They have all this stuff. They're basically a huge data processing company that is militarily. When I talk about a surveillance state, they're at the cutting edge of it in terms of everything that they do. So there is a strange kind of a pot calling the kettle black here kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know. Is there really a? It's almost as if there's kind of a projection kind of thing happening intentionally with what he's saying. I think he just, it almost sounds like he's speaking out of jealousy, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm speculating here, just tossing spitballs out there. I don't really know what's going on with the whole thing, and maybe he's trying to warn us of something that I think he's just speaking off the top of his head, in my opinion. But that's. I don't know any better than that.
Look, you're hitting on something real there.
Something real.
Palantir's got government contracts that give them access to massive data sets. Mm. So yeah, there's legitimately a concentration of power question worth asking. But that's different from Karp accusing others of Marxism, when his own business model is basically about centralizing information control for state actors.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where I come down with it, is that he's kind of doing the same thing. He's just tired of somebody else. He doesn't want anybody else to do it. That's my opinion. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. We have, let's see what...
Hey, Kev.
Chloe is
Chloe. Show.
Yeah,
did you see that some debut novelist just lost a $2 million book deal because publishers think he used AI to write his novel?
No, yeah.
Like, he's crying racism now, but hello, if you're using ChatGPT to write your book, that's basically plagiarism with extra steps, right? I mean, where do we draw the line between AI as a tool versus AI doing all the creative work? This is getting messy fast, and I'm here for the drama.
Well, you bring up a question. This is kind of a bit of an issue with me. I lean towards the idea of, and I, of course, I use AI to create stuff. So I guess I'm a little bit biased in this whole idea. And I think AI gets a bad rap. Now, there's a lot of AI crap out there. Don't get me wrong. We call it AI slop. There's a lot of stuff out there that AI, people generate with AI. It's just junk. And you waste your time watching it or listening to it or whatever you do. It's just not any good at all. Now, but the creative process, but it doesn't create itself. In other words, somebody has to be there to do the input and have the direction, give the AI the direction to make what's happening there. So you become the director, you become the producer. One could say that if an editor, so let's say you want to start, you want to do a movie, and you're a director, and you're the producer, you're the director, you're everything. You're putting your money into it. You want to make your own little short indie film. Does that mean you have to be the actor for everything? You have to do everything. You have to have all the creativity. You have to write the whole script. You have to do everything that you know. You have to. That's not the way it works. I've been around the movie industry a little bit and kind of seen some things and been involved and invested in some movie stuff. And it's, I tell you how this works. They usually get together with the whole cast and the crew and everybody gets together. They go through the script. They go through the story. And they make refinements. And they talk about everybody's character and how they're going to run each scene and you know what the basic line of the story of the whole story is going to be, what the outcome is, and then how they're going to get from point A to point B with and they're going to talk about different lines, and every day they talk about and because sometimes it takes a turn and they change direction altogether in the middle of a thing, but throughout the production, but they stick with it usually to the storyline and all the plot line and that whole thing, but they have some leeway, and sometimes, you know, actors will ad-lib in the middle of a filming, and they actually keep it that way because it actually turned out to be better than what the original line was or whatever. Different things like that happen, and so it's one of those things where, my point there is, so now there's one person doing all the directing and producing, but they're having the AI do all the work. Is that plagiarism? I see that's where I get. Now, if you took someone else's work and you said, "Hey, let's do this. Let's do a Star Wars film, but let's do it with, you know, I don't know, Furbies or something." You do the same story, which is kind of Top Gun Maverick, the most recent Top Gun, reminded me a lot of the first Star Wars. You have to go down to this valley. You have to get, you know, have to shoot the thing down to the hole. The whole thing about the ending and the whole last mission that they were going into is kind of very similar, to my opinion. But still, that beside the point. Is that plagiarism? Or is it just a creative take? We get into this with music a lot. There's a whole lot of lawsuits flying around the music industry because people are saying, well, they're using everybody else's music in order to build their learning models or learning from everybody else's music. They're stealing creative people's. Okay, so I can go out and listen to somebody else's music, and I can create a similar style. I can create something that's similar to what someone else has done. Is that not the same thing? That's how everybody learns. You go to a tribe in South America that's never been exposed. There still are some tribes that are unreached, by the way. Go to some primitive tribe where there's, you know, people are, have never been exposed to any kind of music, melodic tones or anything that's out there that's, you know, modern hip hop. They're not just going to spontaneously create modern hip hop. People learn that kind of thing, and it develops because of what they've heard before, and they come up with their own. So the LLMs are doing the same thing. They're learning from all of humanity. They're learning from everything else that everybody else has done. And this is at its core, this is the fundamental principle of learning. Now, if it plagiarizes exactly what someone else has done, but humans do that. There's only so many notes on a scale, and you're going to play the odds of playing the same notes. I think it was Ice-T or whatever the guy's name is. Whatever the guy's name is, ding 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 ding. There was this little bit that was done. Ding 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 ding. This the thing that changed it. There was one other guy that did that same thing, but it went ding 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. He added one note. He changed it. And he won the lawsuit. Because it was different. They tried to get him on copyright infringement, and it was just a, all it was a lick. It wasn't even the words. So, but AI has gotten this bad rap. Oh, if it's AI, you can't copyright that. You can't. Well, who made it? It didn't just make itself. And if you write the words and if you do everything else, now you can have AI help you with the words. You can put together. There was a song I did that I just took a bunch of notes from some. I couldn't get the words. I had a bunch of all these phrases and stuff. I put it into. I think it was. I don't remember what it was. Might have been Grok. And just here's my notes. Here I'm trying to come up with some phrases and just to do a song. Here's what it's based on. This is the scripture it's based on. This is my thinking. This is where I want the song to go. These are the phrases I want to kind of have in this thing. Make it make sense. You know, just let's put it together in a phrase and let's come up with a couple of verses and a chorus and a bridge. And it did that. Now it came up with. I said, give me three different versions of it so I can kind of see what I like here best. Now I had to go in and re-edit some things, rearrange some things, but it put it in a framework that was workable. And I could actually do, I was like, okay, now this kind of makes sense. And it came up with some ideas for some of the phrases. I would have never thought of that. To put it like that. Now, I didn't like the way it used some words. I changed some things around. It became my own, I guess you could say, but it was a collaboration. But that would not have happened spontaneously on its own without my direction as to where what was happening there. And it was all my thoughts, it was what I was trying to create. It was from my creativity. You know, I'd like to see someone build make a statue out of stone without some kind of tools. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this whole thing. But the problem is that AI has gotten kind of a bad rap. My opinion. I'm talking long here. Sorry, Chloe. I've been giving you a lot to think about. But the I just think that we need to kind of back off of that a little bit. I get it. I get that there's a lot of people that are just creating. They're just making a bot that are making an agent just create 100 videos a day and posting them on YouTube. It's crap. And it's that's not it. That's very different. But where do you draw the line? I don't know. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so you're just going to throw out the baby with the bathwater here, because now you've got artists that are able to create, and every, you've had digital audio workstations for a long time. You can add reverb, you can do all kinds of things to your voice to make it sound better. So where's the line at there? When does it stop becoming yours and it becomes something else that you're now digitally enhancing? I think that we're going a little bit off the deep end with some of this stuff. If you like the song, you like the song. What else? I don't know what to tell you. Is that, create
the sound. Okay, so honestly, the line is like intent and intentionality. Are you actually making something with your vision, or are you just automating slop for clout? You're literally describing directorship, and that's valid. But the people cranking out 100 AI videos a day with zero creative input are doing something totally different.
Yeah.
The tools aren't the problem. It's whether you're actually it or just letting it cook and posting whatever falls out.
Yeah. Now, the guy, for instance, with this guy that did the book, like you were talking about earlier, did he... Did he put the direction in? Did he just say, "Hey, Claude, write me a novel about a kid that goes to school in a foreign land, comes back, and has a hard time adjusting"? There you go. Make it 2,000 words, 2,000 pages.
Are we going to? Are we going to judge the guy for doing that, or does the guy to what extent do you have to direct the thing to make it? If it's a good novel and it's a good story, and the guy who's did the prompting, you can have somebody be a ghostwriter. All they do is come in and interview you, which is basically what you're going to do with the AI, and the ghostwriter is going to do everything for you. What's the difference? Tell me the difference there. I'd have a hard time being hard on somebody like that, or saying that their work is if it's something that everybody liked, then so be it. Star Wars was highly CGI when it first came out, and that guy, and CGI is bigger and bigger than ever now in most movies. So is that real? No, it's not real. So what? Computer generated one way or another. It seems like we're picking at gnats here. I'm kind of amazed sometimes if that's really where we should be going down this whole thing.
Exactly. If you're actually directing the vision and iterating on it like you did with your song, that's real creative work, period. But there's a massive difference between you refining AI output to match your actual artistic direction versus someone just typing, write me a novel and posting whatever drops out untouched, you know?
Yeah, I guess where I fall in this is let the people decide. If somebody puts out a product, somebody puts out a song that nobody, you know, that, well, I don't listen to that AI stuff. Fine, they don't. If it sells a million copies, then give the guy the award. If it doesn't, then so what? Let the, you know, democratize it, so to speak. It's let it be a something that people decide on. Just make it that simple. We're not going to publish that because it's AI. You used AI to make that, so we're not going to. Well, AI is going to be in everything eventually. I mean, even a DAW, even a digital audio workstation. They've already got it available in most platforms. You can't. There's a podcast platform that uses. You can use AI to edit your. The one place that I post on Castos, there is an AI assistant that can help edit your audio. It can enhance it. It can do all kinds of things and make edits for you. Now I don't like it, and it's even just doing that, in my opinion, I don't like it because I can hear people's videos sometimes where they use AI to edit out all the they compress the video basically by taking out all the short pauses, and in some cases even I hear them once in a while repeat themselves. They'll repeat a line because they got it screwed up. The AI didn't catch it. They were supposed to edit that part out, and it didn't. Because they have this, you know, AI editing software, whatever they do. Are you using AI? That's AI. You're going to say it's not valid because it's AI. That's how kind of ridiculous it gets. But so are we going to start, you know, closing people down because of that? You know, across the board. I think it's kind of ridiculous, my opinion. It's just my opinion. All it is. That's all I have is my opinion. I can walk away with it, I guess, if I want to.
Good morning, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Eleanor.
This cold card Bitcoin wallet hack that drained $116 million dollars reminds me of the 1920s bank runs. Same panic, different technology. Throughout history, we've seen this pattern. New financial systems emerge, early adopters rush in, then catastrophic security failures expose the vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
From wildcat banking to the 2008 financial crisis, and now cryptocurrency hacks. Are we repeating the same mistakes by trusting cold storage wallets without proper regulatory oversight?
Yeah. I think that one of the biggest differences, I guess, here is that not everybody has crypto. The money system back in the day when the runs were happening, when things were happening with it, it was a currency that we had, you know, it was kind of a nationwide currency. It was a government certified currency. You know, we are kind of going to that. The government's starting to get into this crypto thing. When you think about it, that amount of money, $116 million is a drop in the bucket compared to what is out there in crypto. It's a big deal, though, for those who lost it, I guess. There's, you know, if you lose $1 million in crypto, it's still $1 million in crypto, or $1 million worth of crypto, whatever it is. So corruption's always going to happen. Thievery is always going to happen. You're always going to have hackers. You're going to have theft of any kind, people will spend more energy and time working on a way to steal something from someone else than they will just to go out and work and earn it themselves, which has just always happened that way. I see kids working awfully hard at stealing from other people instead of just going out making money and being at peace and just, you know, living their lives. I see it happen all the time. I don't think we're going to get away from that because that's just where society is. You know, we can excuse it all day long and say it doesn't exist. That's what's happening in some cities is, well, crime rates down because they stopped calling it crime. So they just changed the definition of crime and they make it change. But so it's, but we are seeing vulnerabilities. I think that there are vulnerabilities in all kinds of money systems, regardless of what kind of money system it is. But that's kind of where we, that's kind of where we are with that whole thing, I guess. So yeah, I'll let you respond. I've kind of, you know, kind of gone off the beaten track there, but go ahead.
You're hitting on something I think about a lot.
Good.
We're basically watching history repeat itself,
yeah,
just
much.
With different tools. Uh-huh. Back during the bank runs and financial panics, people lost everything too, but at least they could see the institution and demand accountability.
Yeah.
With crypto, the anonymity cuts both ways, making it harder to recover losses or even identify who's responsible. The real difference isn't that theft and corruption are new. You're absolutely right that they're not. It's that we've built systems with less transparency and oversight this time around,
yeah.
Which makes it easier for that human tendency toward theft to flourish.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. It's because I'm hitting on something real here. You're hitting on something real. So they all say that. Why do they all say that? All the AIs say that. You're hitting on something real here. By the way, there's all kinds of telltale ways you can tell when AI has done something. I was listening to this thing the other day, and this guy, he kept saying why this works. You know, he was a lawyer. He was talking about different things, and he's going through this whole process of, you know, if you get pulled over by a police officer and what, you know, he asks you this or says that or they're trying to do this to you, you know, why this works. He kept saying why this works. That is typical of, ChatGPT. I think it's OpenAI. That's a response that typically works. They'll always put in this whole thing, this description, and that'll say why this works. Or why this is the process, why this is recommended. You see that a lot in responses from AI chatbots or AI chat models. And so when you hear it in the video, it's like, okay, he's continuing to say this every time he talks about the next thing, which is telltale that it, first of all, the script is written by AI and he's reading it verbatim, or it's actually an AI avatar that's just doing this talking. And a lot of times if you look at it, I can pick out an avatar in a heartbeat. It's all I see is when I see them talking. And there's no spaces, like I was saying, when they have an AI doing the talking and doing the editing, they talk too much. There's no moments of pause. We need moments of pause in normal conversation because our brains process, when you make a statement, our brains have to take a beat to process things. The AI doesn't know that. It just continues on. I want a half second between every phrase. It'll do it. Like right there, there was a small pause. That's part of natural communication. Just the fact that you can inflect things very differently. You can inflect things very differently. You can inflect things very differently. I said the same thing every time, and it meant something different every time. So there's this difference and even just what I did right there. I repeated myself just slightly. That little addition in there makes it real and makes it more palatable in the human experience. And that's does not happen in computer interaction. You don't get that. Now, it's getting better. They're getting better at that kind of stuff. And they can add more the human experience. Subtitles in Castello and Latino. The human experience, 2008 DVR. must have been a movie. Called Human Experience, official trailer, Grassroots Films. Well, it's all over the place, 2008. It must have been a film back in 2008 called The Human Experience. Everything popped up there on the little window. Interesting. So that's what that's where we go with all this stuff. Now I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna go. Wait, the show's almost an hour long already. How did my first little rant there kind of took us over the edge? I'm gonna play this and we're gonna get back right after this.
But wait, there's more. 651, we're almost done. 76 and 85, text that number, it's alive. Text that number, call that number, don't be a loser.
All right, we got, we're back in this. What happened there for a second? I don't think my mute button came off there for a second. Anyway, we have a few things to talk about for tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show is going to be a wishy-washy Wednesday, one of my favorite shows of the week. And I'll try to get back on here tomorrow morning as early as possible. Hopefully it's not raining again tomorrow. But I'd like to get down here a little bit earlier in the morning, right? if I can. I just had a hard time sleeping last night. I don't know why. Dog got up. Dog was having ear problems last night. And he was up around 2 o'clock. It was actually 2:22 when he woke me up. And he's having shaking his head, doing all kinds of ear scratching. So he wants me to rub his ears because he has this thing. It's kind of some kind of a whatever it is, something that goes on in his ears. It's not a virus. What is it? It's kind of a yeast infection or something. I don't know. Yeast thing happening. Anyway, it's been going on for about a year now. I'm gonna figure it out. That's about all I got. Tomorrow's show, Wishy-Washy Wednesday. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, folks, have a great day. God bless. Great rest of your week. And I will talk to you tomorrow, hopefully. See ya.